The fish had swallowed a piece of silver, and it was in his mouth, yeah, but the Lord had Peter pick just the right fish out of all those thousands of fish that had that piece of silver in its mouth. So let's look tonight. I thought this was interesting as I was reading this today. Verse 22, back up a couple verses. And when they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. In the two verses that Jesus talks about being betrayed and killed, in the next verse, the IRS shows up. They that received tribute money showed up in the next verse. Now, I know those two aren't connected, but sometimes they almost seem like they are for you and I. Somebody giving us a hard time. But here they come. Notice in verse number 24, it says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? They that received the tribute money. The tribute here is not a income tax as we would think it. It's not even necessarily a personal tax. It was a temple tax. We don't have the time, but if we did, we'd go back to Exodus chapter 30. Down around verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, Moses instituted a tabernacle tax, which became a temple tax. And that is that every, as it was in the New Testament, every individual over 20 years old had to pay a half shekel temple tax. And what that did is that maintained the place of worship. That's how they did that. That's how they paid for the service of the Lord, the sacrifices, and the Levites and all those that were in the temple. It was all paid for by a temple tax that everyone had to pay, a half shekel, that was due every March 15th. On March 1st, they would declare the temple tax was about to be collected, and on the 15th, they would set up little stations, they called them booths, and they would begin to collect that. One per person over 20 years old had to pay a half shekel tax for the temple. And on the 15th, they would start collecting it. It went till the 25th, and they had 10 days to pay those taxes. Well, here is Jesus and Simon Peter, the disciples, coming through Capernaum right at that time of year. Right at that time of year. Now, you think about the distance between that time and what we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday. This is near the end of the life of Jesus Christ. This is near the end of his 3.5-year ministry. He's already been through 2 years of this. And this is the third year that this has been done, right before his betrayal, crucifixion. And they come to him, not giving him the respect they had given him before. They'd never come to Jesus asking him to pay a temple tax. And the reason is that the rabbis were exempt from the temple tax. Those that taught, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, as we would think of them, the rabbis, they didn't have to pay the temple tax. They were the ministers of the temple. And Jesus, I mean, what did Nicodemus said? We know that thou art a teacher come from God. They addressed him as rabbi. They did not require him up until this point to pay that temple tax. So when they came at this time asking for that, it was really an affront. It was an attack upon Jesus Christ himself. Because they were failing now that the popularity had turned away from him. Now the 5,000 weren't following him, and the 4,000 following him. Now the multitudes weren't there. He had lost favor with the religious leaders, and now those that collected taxes were on the outs with him. And they said to him, after two or three years of not having to pay that, he said, now they said, all right, does not your master pay tribute? So their question was not a sincere inquiring of truth. It was an attack upon who Jesus was. We'll see that as we look down to Jesus' answer to Peter when he talks about it. But they ask him, doth not your master pay tribute? I like what Peter says in verse 25. And he saith, yes. Now, you know, Peter was impulsive. And Peter's put on the spot right here. Basically, he's on the defensive. Because he did not give the right answer. Jesus should not give the temple tax. He is a rabbi. He is a teacher. Not only that, but you know what he said about the temple? When he went in and purged it and cast all the money change, he said, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. He's a child of that house. It's his father's house. We'll see that he says that in just a moment. There's no reason he should have to pay that tax. But Peter, on the defensive, Peter simply says, when they say, does he pay the tax? Peter says to them, yes. And notice it says in verse 25, and when he, Peter, was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. The word prevented is an old English word that we understand. Prevent means to stop somebody. But the old English word, as you know, in our Bible means much more than our common slang means anymore. Prevented did not just mean stop, but it means he stopped him knowing what he was thinking and going ahead of him. All right, that's what the word prevented means there. Much more than our common word prevented. It means when Peter came into the house, he just answered the question, does not thy master pay tribute? Yes. As a knee-jerk reaction, well, of course he does. I mean, he's good. He's a good man. Why wouldn't he pay it? And then when he comes into the house, Jesus knows what he's thinking. He knows what just went on out there. He knows the question that was asked, and he knows the answer that Peter gave. And so he stops Peter, and he says, Peter, notice what he says in verse number 25. Simon, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Should Jesus have to pay a tax for his own house? Should Jesus be required to pay tribute when that is his father's house? Simon Peter is the one that said, we know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon had not thought out his answer before he gave it. Don't we do the same thing many times? Somebody asks us a question and we just kind of give off an answer before we think about it. And sometimes the answer we give is an incorrect answer. It's always good to stop and think before we respond. Simon Peter didn't do that and he gave the wrong answer. And so the Lord says to him, he says, Simon, wait a minute. As Simon's coming back in, just having had that conversation, he's still thinking about it. Jesus, knowing his thoughts, says to him, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take tribute? Of children or of strangers? And Simon Peter says in verse number 26, Peter saith unto him, of strangers. All right, the temple tax was not taken of the rabbis and those that ministered to the house. It was taken of those from those on the outside. Even the kings of the earth in the political realm, the Roman government, they didn't tax their own families. They taxed everybody else. But their families didn't have to pay. Back then it was not what you know, it's who you know. And so Jesus said, we don't have to pay that tribute because that tribute is paid by those that are on the outside. We're not on the outside, we're on the inside. I'm the Son of God. It's my Father's house. Really, the question of over the whole thing was the deity of Christ. That's what they were debating in this matter. Jesus was telling Simon Peter, we don't have to pay this tax. I am the Son of God. You're my disciple. We're going around teaching and preaching the Word of God. We are exempt from this tax. But they were trying to take that tax exemption away from him. Doesn't that sound up to date? Churches in our day are always worried that their tax exemption is going to be taken away. There shouldn't have to be a tax on churches. And here the Lord says, we shouldn't have to have a tax. We shouldn't pay it. But I like his word in verse 27. Notwithstanding. Now that's kind of a long word that we might shorten up to simply, but. We shouldn't have to pay this, Peter. It's not right for them to require this of me. They shouldn't be asking me. The simple fact that they're asking is them denying who I am. When I was working the miracles and doing all the things, they did not require me to pay the tax. They recognized me as a rabbi. They recognized me as a teacher come from God. But now that they have turned against me, Jesus could say, I haven't changed. I'm not doing anything different. But now that they have denied me and turned against me, and of course the Lord by this time has told his disciples, we're going to Jerusalem, and they're going to take me. I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be killed. On the third day, I'll rise again. We're so close to that event taking place that Jesus tells Peter, now they're denying me, they're rejecting me simply by asking for this tax. And we have no obligation to pay it, notwithstanding. Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Jesus went out of his way to pay a tax he was not required to pay. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not bringing this into modern days and saying that we ought to pay things that we aren't obligated to pay. But I'm just saying this, that Jesus bent over backwards to accommodate and not offend other people. Jesus bent over backwards not to offend other people. Jesus didn't think it was a badge of honor to offend someone unnecessarily. Now that's not that he didn't speak the truth. If we had time, we'd turn to Matthew chapter 23, where he put a scathing rebuke upon the Pharisees, called them hypocrites, said they were whited sepulchers. They were dirty dishes, basically. He said all kinds of things about them, that they were stealing widows' goods. So Jesus confronted people when evil is to be confronted, but when it came to accommodating someone in order not to offend them, Jesus went the extra mile. You know, it doesn't matter that he went the extra mile in this situation, because you know what they said to him later? They said about Jesus, they said that he was failing to give tribute to Caesar. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 2, they accused Jesus of failing to give tribute to Caesar. Right here, he's giving a tribute, a temple tax, when he's not obligated to give it. You know why? Because Jesus said in another place here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 17, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God's that which is God's. You know, the thing that comes closest to our heart is the thing the Lord wants us to sacrifice to show our love for Him. And for these tax collectors, the history of Matthew tells us, as we read about him, that at Zacchaeus, remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he says, after he meets the Lord, when he gets up in the tree and sees him, and then Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today. Zacchaeus says, everyone that I've defrauded, I will pay them back. As a tax collector, you know how the old story is with the butcher that puts the slab of meat on the scale and then weighs it down with his finger just a little bit. The tax collectors were notorious for assessing a tax on people above that which was owed to the Roman government so that they could make some money and skim off the top. Aren't you glad politicians don't do that stuff today? See, the Bible's so old and archaic and outdated. And so these men came wanting the tax from Jesus, and Jesus said, lest we offend them, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Jesus said, this is not important. The coin is not important. Now, you and I would first say, well, yeah, anybody that can get money out of a fish's mouth, money's not important to them. They can get it anytime they want to. It's like the proverbial dollar tree in the backyard. But Jesus said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. Jesus is going to work a miracle for Peter that is going to provide in a way that Peter could not have provided. The tax collectors are there. They're asking for the temple tax. Note that neither Peter nor Jesus have the spare change to pay that tax. Again, we're talking about different days and different times where people did not have pocket change. A half shekel, the temple tax, they tell me, as I was reading and studying this, they tell me that the half shekel that was required was about 3 days' wages back in that day. So not too many of us carry around 3 days' wages. You think of whatever your day's wages. Not too many of us carry around 3 days' wages in our pocket. Jesus did not have that money with him. Peter did not have that money with him. And yet he told Peter, he said, I know where to get that money. Not going to rob a bank. Just go down to the river bank. Go down to the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Take a line, take a hook, cast it in. And there, get that fish that comes up, and in its mouth you'll find the money to pay the tax. Can I say this? Though Jesus is providing in a supernatural and miraculous way, out of all the fish in the sea, just the right one's going to be close enough to shore for Peter to go out and cast a line from the bank and catch that exact fish and bring it in and have that money in its mouth. Peter still had to do something to get that coin. He had to be obedient to God for the Lord to work that miracle. Notice what the Lord said. Go thou to the sea. Step number one. Cast a hook. Number two. Take up the fish that first cometh up. Number three. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Number four. There were four steps that Peter had to follow for Jesus to fulfill the miracle that he worked. We want God's miraculous provision to be without any labor by ourselves. We want God to meet the needs that we have without us getting off the couch and setting down the remote. Now, you know I'm being a little bit facetious when I say that, but the truth of that is still the truth. Lord, help me. Lord, bail me out. Lord, I'm in financial trouble. Lord, I've got some needs. And the Lord says, all right, go do it. You know, I've read this many times on social media, and I'll see if I can get it right as I say it. You know, they're always promising. He said, go to work for 2 weeks, and at the end of that, you'll be blessed with money. All right, the Lord told Peter, go down, cast a line in, catch a fish, bring it in, open its mouth, and you'll be blessed with money. And so Peter had to do what the Lord told him to do. He had to be obedient to God for God to meet the need. The Lord could have worked that miracle. He could have rained down silver coins from heaven, like he did the quail for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He could have sprung the silver coins up from the ground like he did the manna for the children of Israel in the wilderness. The Lord could have used any means to supply that need, but he used instrumentality. He used Peter being obedient to his command to supply the need for something they didn't really have to pay in the first place. You see how Jesus went out of his way to accommodate those around him, to not offend them. And he sent Peter down to the shore. And he said to them, when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee. Jesus said, give that. That coin's going to be enough. A half shekel. This will be a shekel. It'll be enough to pay for both you, for me, who doesn't owe the tax, and for thee, Peter, I'm going to take care of you. The Lord's generosity. He didn't have to pay that tax himself. He could have left Peter to pay the tax on his own. But the Lord took care of both of them through Peter's obedience. We call this a miracle, and truly it is, because you and I couldn't duplicate it. This is an evidence of God ruling over nature as he does on so many occasions. But when he supplies that coin, when he supplies that tax, it met the need of everybody that was there. It took the pressure off Peter, because Peter had said, does not thy master pay tribute? Yes. If the Lord would have then said, I don't have to pay it, and argued with him, they'd have left Peter in a rough spot. But he bailed Peter out. He also kept his testimony clean, even though he went above and beyond what he had to do, because he didn't have to pay the tribute, but he did. And then he met the needs of the people that were coming to him. He gave no reason for them to doubt him. Now, as I said already, did it suffice them? No. Because later on, as I said, they accused him in Luke chapter 23 of forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. He never forbid that. But Jesus could know that he did everything above and beyond what he should have done to appease the people and give them no reason to be offended, no reason for accusation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our example. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we follow. And even when he didn't have to, he went the extra mile. Even when he didn't need to and could have argued and debated with them over whether he should. Notwithstanding, I like that big word. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Many times we're right, and we can fight for when we're right, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. I think of when we bought this piece of property over here on the side, and we brought in 2 loads of dirt and got ready to level it off and make it a parking lot. And when we did, some screaming took place. Some yelling happened. And the village authorities came running over to us and saying, stop, will you please, we could do what we want. Would you please stop that? Would you please, we've got some problems, we need to check this out. Notwithstanding, we could have gone ahead and done whatever we wanted to. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. And we went out of our way. And we went beyond what should have been expected of us. And you know what? We've got a clean testimony. We've got a clear conscience. It used to be that when the rain came hard on 5th Street and came down that little rise right there, it all went into that lot and flooded out that lot and the house next to it and the house next to that. But since we put 2 catchments in that, since we put a sidewalk with a big curb on that, I've gone out, not so much now, but when we first got our first rains after that, I went out there with an umbrella and watched that rain coming down 5th Street. They used to flood right into that thing, and I watched it all, the curb stopped it all the way down, and they put the catchment down at the bottom, and it all went into that, and everything coming in. And I said to somebody, I'm waiting for a letter of thank you. I'm waiting for somebody that was yelling and screaming before and getting all upset and red in the face to come and say, thank you for doing all of that, that you didn't really have to do, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. I believe, and I mentioned this earlier tonight, that now that we're looking for a place to put a storage shed, and the rules and regulations of the village are so strict on what we're doing it, they're willing to give us, they didn't say a variance, but they're willing to help us out back here to do something that they wouldn't have ordinarily done. I believe it's because, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. We went out of our way when we didn't have to not offend others. And I'd like to think that now when we come to this point where we have a need, now they're doing the same thing in return to us. If they're not, they're sure going to hear about it. But we have done everything we could to be upfront and clean and clear. And that's what the Lord taught us in everything that we do. If I can leave you with anything, those first words of verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. A temple tax he shouldn't have to pay. And he paid it anyways. Because what's the difference? When eternity comes, what's it going to matter whether you paid that tax or not? They're going to stand before God Almighty, having taxed the Son of God when they knew they shouldn't have, and they'll give an account for themselves for that. But Jesus, the Son of God, always did that which was right. And even, not in compromising with sin, not in giving in to wickedness or evil, but in an order not to offend others, Jesus went the extra mile to accommodate others so that they'd have no reason not to believe in Him. No reason to think ill of Him. And you know what happened when He was tried by Pontius Pilate and went before Herod and the centurion stood before the cross and the people that beheld Him, they all with one accord said about the same thing. Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Herod said the same thing. We found nothing in Him worthy of death. The centurion standing by Him said, truly, this was the Son of God. Everybody that beheld Him knew He'd gone the extra mile. And so He sets the example for us, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Bless God, I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. That's not the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's not the attitude that He had. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight we don't